best of the 10 Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. That's a lot of GHI.
I'm out of eggs.
Oh,
I'm getting low too. Breakfast this morning.
That's why, yeah. You know,
I'll pick up some for us today.
Yeah. Well, I hope you guys are having a fantastic day. Hope you guys are staying healthy and strong as you are every single day. And be sure to check out, the product of the week, the cinnamon extract. I'm switching stuff around here too. On sale for over 12 or 14% off right now on product of the week. That's our formula. It helps out significantly with blood sugar. Really, really good formula. It helps burn body fat as well. On sale for over 13% off. There's my number on it right there at Team Health Master. So be sure to check that out, the cinnamon extract. And a couple of the other kits we put together. I told you guys last week, one of the really popular ones that we put together is the basically Say No to Brain Fog, Brain and Body Restart Kit.
Great kit.
That's the GHI with the magnesium brain food and one of our new fun, very sturdy, strong shakers.
And they're incredibly stiff.
They're very stiff. But I needed that, though, because like I said, I'm a little rough on shakers. And so we put this together for you guys, the magnesium, the GHI, and the shaker bottle. Free shaker, free shipping, and the kids discounted. So be sure to take advantage of that if you guys want to stack up on some of it. And there's another article just came out. It's a whole new study, once again, on magnesium. It talks about how magnesium depletion is linked to depression. Which, again, I feel like every time I turn around, it's either D3 or magnesium that everybody is saying, you really need to have this in your diet. You really need to have this nutrient.
Well, also, remember, when D3 levels are at zero, which I've seen that before, they don't just come up.
No.
It takes a while to get them up.
Yes, and the same thing with magnesium. Because magnesium is used in the body so abundantly, when it starts getting depleted, you don't just go and take a scoop of magnesium powder one day. Oh, I took magnesium today. I've got magnesium in my system. I'm good now. It's used so readily. And remember, it's water soluble, so it's flushed out of the body. So you really got to take a lot of it if you're outside a lot. Yesterday was unbelievably hot in the afternoon. It's getting quite warm in Florida.
Look at this. 13,000 people found that magnesium levels directly linked to depression.
Yeah, that's why I want to bring this up. 13,000 people in this study. It showed that for every 1 point increase in someone's magnesium depletion score, their risk of depression rose by 13%. That's a very significant amount. It says the magnesium depletion score is a tool that helps identify people who may be low in magnesium by looking at common risk factors like medications, alcohol use, or kidney problems. Lowering your magnesium depletion score by improving your diet or addressing risk factors may help prevent or ease symptoms of depression. So
alcohol flushes magnesium.
Alcohol flushes everything out. That's one of the biggest things. I've told everybody, if you ever are involved in that or doing something or you're having a dinner party, make sure you're taking the GHI cleanse at bed. Cleanse your body out. And the next day, make sure you hammer more B vitamins and more magnesium. That's just essential. That way you can get your body cleaned back out.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine. He was wearing one of those Apple watches.
Yeah.
Monitoring his heart rate at night. But he drank like a fish.
Yeah.
I mean, drink every day.
Yeah. That's no good.
Wine, alcohol, beer, and he ended up having his heart spike one night. And I told him, I said, it's probably because of a magnesium imbalance. Yeah. You're probably flushing your magnesium out because of the alcohol you're drinking. Of course, he didn't like that. He thought I was preaching to him.
Yeah.
And then he got so concerned about the one time that his heart spiked like that, he went and got himself on beta blockers.
Yeah.
And finally, I sent him a bunch of links. I said, you can't take beta blockers and drink.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people don't realize that, there are a lot of things out there that are causing problems with your heart and with your health and with your brain and with brain fog and everything else that are all alcohol related.
That's true. And then they compound on that as well, especially the more often you drink. The more consistent you drink, a lot of those factors get compounded. That's what I told you before. If it's a rare occasion or a couple times a year, there's a Christmas party, take the detox kit. I put that together for you. Let your body get back to homeostasis. But drinking every day or even multiple times a week has significant long-term health effects on the body, especially if you're not taking any type of supplements or nutrients or adding this stuff back to your body. And as you see here, One point increase in someone's magnesium depletion score, the risk of depression goes up by 13%.
Well, it's crazy, too, because, a lot of people don't understand that if you don't take your supplements on an ongoing basis, they start to deplete your body.
Yes.
It happens very quickly. And alcohol increases the risks of pancreatic cancer, liver cancer, cirrhosis of the liver, alcoholism, osteoporosis, and breast cancer. So I'm not saying like awesome. If I had occasional glass of beer or occasional Bailey's or whatever, it's not that big of a deal. But I'm talking like a couple times a year. But I know people that drink this stuff every single day. And what it does do more than anything else, as far as from an obvious standpoint, is the weight gain.
That's true.
Because it stops the production of an enzyme called lipase, and that lipase helps to burn the fat instead of store it. And I've seen so many women and so many guys start drinking beer, just a couple beers a day or a glass of wine a day, and they start gaining weight.
Yeah.
And you see it over and over and over again.
And the crazy part, too, another factor here is it says stress is another major factor in magnesium depletion.
Oh, sure it is. Right, when the body goes under stress, it starts burning nutrients much quicker.
Exactly what it says. It says when you're stressed, short-term or long-term, your body releases enormous amounts of magnesium as part of its stress response.
Because it helps relax the muscles.
Yep, it says magnesium is excreted by the kidneys when a person's under stress. Also, excessive caffeine consumption, as well as grain refining and food processing, can deplete magnesium levels. Boiling magnesium-rich foods like spinach results in magnesium loss. Choosing more raw whole foods has the most potential. I've always told everybody that before with food. You see that with eggs and other foods. You don't ever want to make everything so unbelievably overcooked where it's just mush. That's not good. Same thing with eggs. You're eating eggs.
Except for Brussels sprouts.
You would pick Brussels sprouts. Undercooked Brussels sprouts are a little crunchy.
Oh, yeah. I always overcook my Brussels sprouts.
Yeah, no, yeah, I know you did.
I found about 5 cases of Brussels sprouts in the freezer.
Well, I found them, too, the other morning.
Yeah, it's in there in the freezer.
No, on the stove.
Oh, yeah. I burned them.
Gosh.
I left the stove turned on.
I had to go there and turn it off. Brussels sprouts are starting to sizzle flames on them. I'm like,
Speaking about drinking too much, this is a funny story. Of course, a Seattle cat lady wants to ban the Blue Angels.
The Blue Angels.
Yeah. No, this is a funny article. She said she's filed a lawsuit against the military and said that the military jets were traumatizing her ailing cat.
Her cat?
No, this I thought this was a serious joke when I started reading it, but this lady was serious. And then she got on their website and started using all this filthy language to describe the Blue Angels, and they banned her. They got her mad because she couldn't vocalize her filthy language on the Blue Angels website, and she basically filed a lawsuit on them. Now, mind you, let me get wrong, she may have toxoplasmosis, which is a cat brain parasite. She may not have toxoplasmosis.
Those jets do get pretty loud, though.
Yeah, they are. But she says the lawsuit claims that the noise of the low-flying F-18 fighter jets gave the cat panic attacks.
Oh, God.
And now I can say they're loud, okay?
I mean, when you go to the air show, the F-18, when they do some low flyovers.
Yeah. But the cat was already in critical condition because it had congestive heart failure.
And wait. The cat has congestive heart failure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The cat has congestive heart failure.
And, okay. I'm not laughing at the cat. I'm laughing at the fact that
pets get old and they die. You know, and so, but see, the cat lady, Lauren Ann, has sued the Blue Angels officers in federal court, claiming that the sickly elderly cat was terrorized by the Blue Angels. And she said it was state-sanctioned acoustic torture.
You know, if you give it a little bit longer, she's probably going to say they were doing flyovers just to make her mad.
Oh, yeah. And it's a lawsuit claims the noise of the low-flying F-18 jets gave the cat panic attacks, the cat was already in critical condition due to her worsening congestive heart disease and eventually led to the euthanasia. So, in other words, they had to put her down. And so, be clear, the cat was on death's door and was voluntarily euthanized, but the Blue Angels gave the cat panic attacks, allegedly hastening its demise. Lombardi is also angry that the Blue Angels blocked her profanity-laced tirades on Instagram and is seeking a court order to unblock her account and prohibit the Blue Angels from blocking any other accounts on the basis of viewpoint. Now, the reason I read this ridiculous story this morning is this. People think their animals are humans.
It happens.
It happens a lot more than you think it will. You know, it deals with dogs. It deals with cats. It deals with all kinds of animals. I mean, I told you about the lady that spent, over $50,000 of her brother's money to keep this dog alive that had, you know, basically diabetes, and the dog ended up dying. And the guy told me, who was paying the bill, he said, "I just wish this thing would die." And then he goes, "I wish I had euthanized it, but I got stuck now with these women are involved in it, and they want to keep it alive."
I get a lot of people, especially if they don't have kids anymore, that animals are part of their family. I get that, and I get trying to go out of your way to make sure they're healthy, but you also have to do a cost-benefit analysis. You really do with animals. You already know their life expectancy is going to be probably significantly more limited than yours. And like I told you before, I'm speaking from experience. You know, I had my boy Diesel. He was my first main dog. He was my boy. I mean, he was so good with my son Hunter. I could leave him in the living room, and he'd literally move around Hunter as Hunter crawled around the house, and he'd prevent him from getting in certain rooms. I mean, he was that good of a pit bull. I mean, I trust my life with him. He actually saved when we almost had a home invasion one time. I never told everybody the story.
That was a nutty, crazy.
This is a crazy story. I was at a birthday party in Tampa, one of my real good friends, and my cell phone died. This is back years back when you didn't have all these available chargers everywhere, and I was on my way about my way home. Well, notes were known to me. Two vehicles pulled up in my driveway at 2 o'clock in the morning. 2 o'clock in the morning. Five black guys got out of the vehicles and were standing in my driveway, standing by my fence.
Two o'clock in the morning.
And my dogs, I had Diesel and Tank, they went absolutely bonkers in the house. Lana thought I was pulling up because she heard people talk. She thought I had like friends coming over. Well, she looks out the front window and there's five guys and one of them's armed. They're standing in my driveway. Now, let's just be clear. Nobody is standing in somebody's driveway at 2 a.m. armed with two vehicles blocking the driveway because they're coming over to hang out and play Monopoly with you. It's very clear what they're doing. And back at that time, I had bought Lana a used Escalade from the auction. And Escalades were like one of the number one stolen vehicles back then. And by the way, don't ever buy an Escalade.
Horrible resale.
The thing was in the shop all the time. And I got an auction. I still lost money on it. One and done with that. It's a side story. Well, she lets both the dogs out the backyard. And there's a fence right where the guys were at. And both of my dogs almost tore my chain link fence down. They were pushing on it so hard. I mean, I had to go in and readjust and fix it. And they ran off very, very quickly. Well, then come to find out, two nights later.
The same night.
Two days later, I talked to law enforcement. Mm-hmm. I made a police report that night. 2 days later, I got word that on the other side of the lake that I lived on, they had a massive home invasion. And the homeowners basically were zip-tied up. They had a bunch of stuff stolen, and it was a whole entire fiasco. And I found out it happened from that exact night.
From the same guys.
From the same guys. So those dogs saved her life and saved my son's life. So I understand how important animals can be. That same dog that did all that for me got hit by a car, and it broke his hip, broke his femur, shattered it. I had to look at the x-rays. They were horrible. They said, we can amputate his leg. He's got to run around like on a little tricycle. And I said, I will not take the dignity away from this dog. This dog has been my best friend. He's an amazing animal. I'm not going to make him live like this because I want to keep him alive. And so I made the decision that basically we're going to have to put him down. They let me hold him while they put him down. He went away, and he was an amazing dog. And I still miss him. But at the end of the day, you've got to look at what's best for you and the animal. Aren't you being a little selfish if the dog's in unbelievably critical pain and having all these health problems and having all these issues, and you just keep trying to funnel money to keep them alive another day, another day? And I know it's going to hit some toes on that one, but you got to look at it at the same point. What kind of quality of life do they still have? Or are you just keeping them alive because you don't want to let go? So again, I had to make that decision. Didn't like it. Still don't like it. But I still agree with that was the best decision to make, because taking a dog's leg off and making him walk around with three
legs. Now, we're going to have a lot of people that disagree with that.
I understand that.
Okay.
But again, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm telling you that was my opinion and my personal experience. That was not fun at all. So I've been there and done that.
That's one of the reasons I don't have animals anymore.
It's rough. They always
because
die.
Because when they die, you gotta
it breaks
deal with
your
that.
Heart. Oh, yeah, it does. It's horrible. So I get where everybody's coming from with that. So don't send me a bunch of letters fighting me on it. That was my personal experience. I'm not telling you what to do. You got to sit there and make your own decision. And sometimes they really, really suck.
Well, and you know, it goes back to the three questions that we always ask. What am I doing?
Yeah.
What's it doing to me? And is that okay?
Yeah.
You know, and so you can ask it this way. What am I doing? What's it doing to my pet? And is that okay?
That's, you know, if you're going to have to spend $20,000, $30,000, $40,000 in multiple surgeries to try to keep him alive on three legs, he's going to have to wheel it around, and his quality of life is going to be garbage. You're going to go into you're not bankrupt. You're going to max out your credit cards. You know what I mean? At what point do you go, you know, this isn't going to be worth
and
it?
Some people believe, because they look at animals as people, they believe it doesn't matter how much money you have to spend, you need to spend it.
Yeah, and again, that could be their opinion on it, but always try to make those decisions and take a step back and look at them.
And then some people also believe that it doesn't matter if they bankrupt themselves and have to live under a bridge, and I've heard this too. Completely homeless to save a dog's life for an extra 3 weeks, they're going to do it.
Yeah.
And remember, the people who take care of animals, they understand that, and that's why they charge so much.
That's exactly right. I've seen vet bills more expensive than hospital bills.
I talked to this girl one time, and the dog had a broken jaw. Ran into another dog, got into a partial fight. Dog jaw got broken. The dog was like 12 years old, broken jaw. $6,000 to fix the jaw.
Oh, yeah.
And didn't even think about it. And remember, this is only a couple hours worth of work for these vets. Yeah, yeah. But they have learned that people will pay as much money as they do for human beings to keep an animal alive. And they basically, I hate to say this, they prey on that. And I mean, I'm using that word very, very, very succinctly.
They do.
Because they want to, they know. That's why they say, well, we don't know what it's going to cost, but it's going to be a lot.
Oh, yeah. They always mm-hmm. use these open-ended bills on
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And so then all of a sudden you come back and the bill's $8,000, $10,000, and you're like, the dog was a rescue animal. He cost me $50 to adopt, and now I got to put $10,000 out. I've seen people who have been in divorces, okay, and have broken up with their exes, and one person gets the dog, and the other person doesn't get the dog, and they fight each other in court and spend tens of thousands of dollars to get the animal back. I mean, I've seen that too. By the way, we had a shooting in New York City.
I saw that.
I'm going to cover this for a second because this has got some stuff in here I want to cover. Basically, this guy broke into this office thinking it was the NFL office. He'd travel all the way across the country and started shooting people.
He was police officer, wasn't he?
Well, he was. I'm not sure if he's a police officer or not. But the sad part about it all is that, you know, my deepest condolences to the families of the people who died. I mean, this is absolutely horrible what has happened here. But the sad part about all of this stuff is he had suffered a traumatic brain injury. His name was Shane Tamira. He was 27 years old. He was caught, you know, on chilling surveillance footage wearing a sport coat and button-down shirt while carrying an AR-15 into the skyscraper. He's just walking down the road.
I saw the photo of it. See if I can pull it up here. Yeah, yeah. He just walked straight in.
I mean, it was
kind of wild to me because that entire weapon platform is banned in New York. Mm-hmm. You can't even have an AR.
Well, and isn't that the point, though? It doesn't matter if you ban it. It doesn't matter if it's illegal. People still do it because they're criminals. Yeah, after spraying bullets in the lobby, the gunman took the elevator to the 33rd floor where a real estate management firm, Rude Management, is based and killed another person, a woman, before turning the gun on himself. You know, so the thing about it is when you stop and look at it, what happened, you start to realize this guy was unhinged. Something was seriously wrong with him. And then we find out that he had CTE. He had chronic traumatic endosymphalopathy. Okay, that's what he had. He had a letter on his body indicating he had grievances with the NFL. And he said, Terry Long football gave me CTE, and it caused me to drink a gallon of antifreeze. He went nuts.
Oh, God.
Okay, you can't go against the NFL or they'll squash you. The shooter was referring to former Pittsburgh Steeler Terry Long, who committed suicide by drinking antifreeze in 2006 after suffering from CTE. So he references this guy. And he says, study my brain, please. I'm sorry. Tell Rick I'm sorry for everything to know Red. And so I started doing research on this CTE and the damage that it does. And it found out the largest studies of brains of athletes younger than 30, that means they autopsied the brains of these young athletes who died. Now you have to ask yourself a question. Where did they get all these young brains from?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you why right now. And this is some serious thing. Even with amateur players, this is a rare study from Boston University CTE Center has discovered more than 60 cases of traumatic chronic brain injury, known as CTE, in athletes who were under the age of 30 at the time of their death. This is the largest study to look at the neurodegenerative disease in young people. Research found that over 40% of the brain studied had developed some of the earliest signs of disease, which is associated with repeated head trauma. The study also includes what researchers believe to be the first case of an American female athlete diagnosed with the disease. And it starts talking about how the chronic, even talking soccer, hockey, football, professional wrestling, rugby, all of these things were donors. The donor's age at the time of death ranged from 13 to 29 years old. The youngest person was a 17-year-old high school football player. Brain donors who died before they reached the age of 30 were selected to minimize any contributions from age-related conditions. And then what's interesting is said that out of all of these people and all of these donors, they found that the vast majority of these people had committed suicide, Austin.
Yeah.
Now, you think, well, wait a minute. This is out of the 87 of the 152 donors died by suicide, including 33 donors who had CTE, but the finding may not be notable as it seems. The most common cause of death across the board, whether they had CTE or not, was suicide, followed by accidental overdose. She said that noting suicide is one of the leading causes of death among younger people. Now, it goes into detail and starts talking about football injuries, head-to-head trauma, et cetera. Now, I'm going to say it to you this way. I love contact sports. I love football, but you need to have a good helmet. And I'm so happy that the NFL and college football now, when people come in and do head-to-head contact, that these people are ejected from the games. Because a lot of these people start having all kinds of problems, including Alzheimer-related conditions, because of the head damage that they receive. Degenerative brain disease is very, very, very serious. And it doesn't just stop. It gets worse, it gets worse, it gets worse, it gets worse because of what happens inside of the brain. I'm going to post this article so you can read it. I'm not going to go into detail with this.
What's wild is, like you said, he was walking through downtown Manhattan with an M4.
Where are the police?
I've been to New York numerous times. There are cops everywhere. I mean, they're everywhere. They're walking around in full kit with M4s. You got police cars everywhere. New York has an enormous high police presence, which, get it, high population density area. But it's odd, this photo, he just walks in. And this is another photo, too, that popped up, is that he had a concealed firearms permit from Las Vegas. It was issued by Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department, which I think that's where they issue them in that state. He had a concealed carry permit. So he didn't have any significant background of
criminal history. Why is that concealed weapons permit inside of a leather case?
I don't know. That's why I'm looking at this photo. I saw this photo earlier this morning.
What was he carrying? Did he have the strap to his chest? I mean, I don't know. I mean, what was he doing? Was it his tag?
He issued the permit in 2022. But yeah, he's carrying it like it's in his either in his wallet. Is it maybe his wallet? You can't tell. There's no context.
It could be the first thing in the wallet.
Right,
it could be that.
Flips it open. It says they issued that. 2022, he had one. It was active.
But again, he was going after the people with the NFL because of the brain injuries. And I've seen NFL players, as they get older, they start having severe memory lapses. A lot of them. And a lot of them commit suicide. And a lot of them get diagnosed with a bipolar disorder because of the brain trauma.
Oh, yeah.
And so they just, what happens is the brain just shorts out. And then because of the damage, then it just shears off neurons on the inside. They can't think anymore. And the person gets super depressed. And it's a sad thing because that leads to a lot of these different suicides. But the concern for the parents is to make sure if you have your child in a situation like that, even if they're in karate or they're doing stuff. I remember Ray always told people, don't hit to the head. Remember that?
Right. You know, see,
sensei.
I got a couple questions about this whole thing. So he's a Las Vegas resident. Anybody that knows a map, Las Vegas to New York is a heck of a trip.
He drove,
right. Mm-hmm. So you're telling me, like, he lost his marbles, but he was cognizant enough to load up all his gear and drive from Vegas all the way to New York City, then basically just, what, randomly park on the street and pull the M4 out of his trunk five, six-day road trip?
Well, no, let's talk about it for a second. When you have bipolar disorder, you have ups and downs.
That's true.
Okay, you may go 4 or 5 days and be okay.
But that's a long trip to contemplate what you're about to do. At some point in time on that long of a road trip, you're going to start getting fatigued. You're either going to start realizing what you're doing or you're going to...
It doesn't work that way with brain injuries.
Yeah?
It doesn't. No, the person can be completely normal the day before, have a complete conversation with you, and the next day hang themselves or shoot themselves. I mean, it's happened so many times now, and it happens with kids. And then when you start throwing this guy on Prozac or Zoloft.
That's true. You don't know what his prescription drugs were either.
Now he has a black box warning label saying to commit suicide.
I haven't seen any reports on as far as on the toxicology.
Well, no, this is a serious problem. When people get injured, they have serious issues, and they can act completely normal one day and be gone the next.
Yes,
and the sad part about all of this stuff is sometimes you see symptoms, sometimes you see, they say stuff about it. Yes. Most time they don't. They just check out. And the sad part about it is it happens a lot, especially with athletes, Austin. So when kids are in karate or they're in taekwondo, try not to let them take
football,
hits. I'm talking about martial arts now. Try not to let them take hits to the head. Look what happened to Muhammad Ali with what George Foreman did to him on that rope-a-dope. I mean, he could barely talk before he died. His brain was so damaged. You know, and George Foreman, I can't even imagine getting hit in the head by that guy one time.
Then you got the governor, Kathy Hochul, that vile woman. He used an AR-15.
Here we go.
We've banned these assault weapons already. We've strengthened our red flag gun laws. We've closed dangerous loopholes. Our laws only go so far.
Well, wait a minute. If somebody's going to break the law, they don't listen to the laws anyhow. This is what's so stupid
it's
with
like
it.
It's like going, someone goes, you know what? We're going to go rob a bank. But ARs are banned there. So we can't use an AR to rob the bank. We've got to use a shotgun or a pistol because, you know, it's illegal to have an AR in this building or go to this area. So we can't rob the bank with an AR. That's probably some of the stupidest ideology I've ever heard, and that's what these people convey when they talk like this.
Well, they're liberals. That Hochul, she's the one of the worst.
And I'm not making fun of the situation. My condolences to anybody who's killed this situation.
Yes, it's horrible.
This is rough. I mean, it's normal Monday morning. All of a sudden,
and by the way, if somebody has severe brain damage, supplements may or may not help because, you know, there's not a whole lot of regeneration in the central nervous system, particularly the brain.
Well, especially taking numerous hits, too.
Well, and plus, a lot of times they lose their memories. They can't remember anything besides when they got hurt. And so it gets weird. By the way, here's an interesting article. Whites only town draws anger, while blacks only town gets applause.
Really?
You think, okay, well, it's like having Miss Black America versus having Miss White America, I guess. People get angry. You know, and you think, well, why is it allowed that blacks can have their own town, but whites can't have their own town? And why did this make national news? And why in the world am I reporting on it?
I am curious now. No. Those are all valid questions.
No, this is interesting. Last week in Cincinnati, Ohio, made national news after video photos went viral of crowds exiting a black cultural jazz music festival. Marauding groups of the fatigue subset, the usual suspects, this is the blacks, attacked at least three unsuspecting white victims as they walked along the bustling business district. One victim was an older man who was stomped and punched repeatedly into the road by multiple assailants. Another victim was a woman who was beaten unconscious. But why did they do it? Because those people were convenient targets, it would seem, or perhaps simply because they were white. It's hard to say, but one can't make an educated guess according to the evidence and just common sense. And, you know, and so it was very interesting when you see all of this stuff. It says extremely brutal attack on a couple in Cincinnati Music Festival. And they show these people laying out unconscious blood.
No, they knocked them out. It was horrible. I was just in the video yesterday.
And years ago, we were playing that knockout game.
Oh, yeah.
And it's always black people knocking out white people. Now, you have to ask yourself a question. Why are the blacks doing this? Well, blacks have a lot of unresolved bitterness and hatred over slavery and a lot of race baiting. Barack Obama was the worst with Trayvon Martin and Zimmerman with this. And he pushed it and pushed it and pushed it. And so you have to ask yourself a question. Were there people that were basically prejudiced against black people, you know, 100 years ago or 50 years ago or 20 years? The answer is yes. But the opposite's true, too. There are black people that are prejudiced against white people. Every race is prejudiced against another race. There are certain subsets that are like that. There's nothing you can do about that. So should these people be able to start a town based upon European heritage? Well, apparently they've done it. They put 150 acres together, and they set up a, you know, Return to the Land, which has launched an initiative in Kansas with the goal of building a town linked to traditional values and European descent. The project, operating on a private club law, that's how they do it, on a 150-acre expanse, has the core draw the ire of numerous activist groups in the leftist media. The group was at least partially inspired by efforts in South Africa by Afrikaners to protect themselves from genocidal black communist movements in the region. Some towns in South Africa have formed exclusively with white residents and farmers. This comes after thousands of murders, which they argue are race-related, which they are. Black commentators refer to the group as white supremacists. They're actually separatists, not supremacists, and they call for the organization to be taken down through lawsuits. The obvious question needs to be asked, why do they care? Calls for black Americans to separate and isolate from whites have been rampant for the last years, and such efforts have been widely applauded. Then he goes on to say the low IQ commentators, they're not low IQ, they're communist-trained infiltrators, above would ask what would happen if blacks tried to do the same thing. But they did a modicum of research to discover that black Americans already have many times. In fact, only a few years ago, the media was lavishing praise on blacks' only town called Freedom being established in rural Georgia. There were no accusations of malice or racism, only rivers of fanfare. So the double standard is clear. Black-only town equals stunning and brave. White-only town equals evil and fascist. Blacks' critics argue that the Return to the Land project is unnecessary because rural towns across America are already predominantly white. If this is true, then why does one more white town erase them so much? I'm going to repeat that because I got kind of redundant. I didn't do any questions. I'm just reading, and so sometimes you guys go to sleep on me when I do that. Let me say it again. Black critics argue that the Return to the Land project is unnecessary because rural towns across America are already predominantly white. If this is true, then why does one more white town enrage them so much? And so you got to ask yourself a question. As far as black and white and all that, people are always going to have attitudes towards other races. It doesn't matter whether you want that to happen or not happen. It's just the way it is. But the reality is that should somebody have the right to be in a white-only town or a black-only town or Hispanic-only town if they want to do that? My answer is yes.
Yeah, I don't
blame them. If they want to do that, let them do it. I don't care. Who cares? See, that's the biggest problem that we get because of cultural Marxism and the Frankfurt School. We want to get into everybody else's business
that's
to make
exactly
a big deal.
Right. Everybody wants to micromanage everybody. Everybody wants to tell everybody what to do.
Well, now we got a lady who has a cat that was already dying of congestive heart failure who ends up having to be euthanized, and now it's the Blue Angels' fault.
When you say it like that,
it's... Well, my mind, you see, yeah. You see, I mean, it's so stupid. And then she wants to do some, these profanity-laced tirades on their Instagram account, and now they've taken her down, and she's all angry. She files a lawsuit. My only question is, what's wrong with the attorney firm that filed the suit, unless she did it herself?
There's some attorneys that will sue anybody for anything.
But you don't even need an attorney. You can file the lawsuit
yourself.
Yeah,
you can't file yourself. Have somebody help you with it if you can't understand.
You know, I had a good friend of mine who's got a podcast, and he had a lady from Canada file a lawsuit on him and file it all herself, supposedly. And it went on for years. Cost hundreds of thousands of dollars because they made a comment on one of the shows that he was on.
This is an interesting article, changing gears. I kind of want y'all's opinion on it because I know this is a topic that everybody starts getting very weird on. This is an interesting incident that, again, happened over the weekend. It says more than half of the aid trucks from Egypt to Gaza were looted on Sunday.
Who looted them?
Israel saying Hamas looted them.
Oh, God, here we go.
No, you guys are going to get an interesting kick out of this. Half the aid trucks entered the Gaza Strip from Egypt. They had a surge of looting now. Israel said that they were helping get more supplies to, you know, Palestine. And, you know, they were trying to help them out. So they said, out of 130 trucks, 73 were looted. They said this is the area that basically separates Rafah from Khan Yunis and is controlled by IDF. Well, if it's controlled by IDF, how did Hamas come in there and loot all these trucks? Great question. In times of Israel,
IDF is the Israeli Defense Force.
Yes. It says separately, IDF posts videos of what they said was evidence that Hamas operatives looted the aid trucks last Thursday. And here's the video evidence of Hamas looting them. That's all Hamas, right? That's all Hamas, kind of IDF. Anyways, it's an independent observer says while there was enough food entering Gaza, it's a threat to hunger because of the Hamas looting. Well, now they're saying is Israel said that essentially the surge of humanitarian aid that they're being so gracious with, you know, they're giving Gaza all this food after they've displaced 2 million people. They're saying Hamas refused to end the war by releasing the Israeli hostages. And in the absence of the agreement of the hostage release and this continual looting, IDF has now said they're going to pursue Hamas in northern Gaza and tighten its grip as it advances on the last neighborhoods and the largely left unknown of the war. So Israel produces aid to send to Gaza.
Egypt does.
Egypt. Well, Israel's involved in it, though, too. Right. And Israel says that now Hamas looted it. So now, in order to protect Palestine, they're going to blow up more of basically northern Gaza because Hamas looted the aid that was going to Palestine. Doesn't it kind of seem like they keep setting all this stuff up?
Well, it's back to wag the dog.
Right, that's my point. And there's 20 hostages that haven't been released. You know, I saw a thing earlier today, and it was talking about how
could they not know where these hostages are when they've completely
the country's gone?
Yeah,
the country's gone.
But we have to remember, there's going to be somebody in there too that was basically in a concentration camp in World War II, and from the Nazis, they'll be one of the hostages.
You know, maybe they're with the same facility that weapons of mass destruction that Hussein had. Maybe they're there. They haven't looked there yet. Maybe they're over in Iraq. Or maybe they're where, you know, the incubators where allegedly they killed the babies.
Or how about Gaddafi?
Oh, or what? Maybe the same place they were hiding all the chemical weapons that Assad gassed his own people with that never existed. Maybe they need to look there. I don't know. Maybe you get tired of being lied to so many times for another excuse for another war.
Watch the movie Wag the Dog.
The problem I have is I get everybody's stance with Israel. I understand everybody's stance back and forth on it. But at some point in time, you have to start asking questions. It's the same playbook being used over and over and over again to justify more war, more genocide, like even the United States did with all these other countries that we bombed in the Middle East, and they had no legitimate reason. Watch that movie Green Zone. It's a really good movie that goes into detail about WMDs and the entire lie that was perpetrated to get us into the invasion of Iraq so we could take over all the resources.
You know, it's funny because Dustin Hoffman was the producer in that movie.
Yes.
Since I just watched it two nights ago, it's still fresh on my brain. And I remember every time something else would go wrong, he goes, "This is great. This is great.
Yeah.
I can fix this." And he's spinning another lie. Yeah. And finally, the guy who basically was left in this Albanian war that never happened, and they picked him, his name was Schumacher, he basically comes back, and he basically is Woody Harrelson. He's crazy as all get out. He's all kinds of psychiatric drugs. Finally, he assaults some woman, and some guy shoots him and kills him before he can be paraded back in front of the masses.
Yeah.
Dustin Hoffman goes, "This is great. We've got the returning dead war hero. This is great." And so they have this big funeral for him. And every single thing he did was basically to compensate for something else that happened.
Yep.
And it's just, that's what this is. Oh, we have the aid gets looted by the Hamas. Oh, great. You know, well, they don't tell you that it wasn't the aid from Hamas being looted. We have to now stop bringing any more aid into Gaza.
Yeah.
And we have to bomb Gaza more. And you're like, where does the circular reasoning come from?
And that's why I want to cover this, because at a certain point in time, you have to start asking questions of why things continually being done over and over and over again and why you believe them. That's my whole thing is.
No.
So again,
but Dustin Hoffman was good enough in that movie. He should have gotten a doggone Oscar for that. It was amazing. He was and then at the end he goes, "Well, I want to tell everybody what I've done. It's not fair."
Yeah.
And they go, "Don't do that. We're talking about your life now." They tell him, "Oh no." Well, they end up killing Dustin Hoffman, and they have a funeral for him because he wouldn't keep his mouth shut about what he had done and how he created a war that never existed to keep the president in office. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
The movie's phenomenal.
Kind of like other stuff we've seen.
Oh, by the way, I found another phenomenal article this morning. When I first looked at this, I thought to myself, this is going to be a weird one. I don't think I'm going to post this. The quantum incarnation of Jesus as a transition into our linear world.
Wait, what?
Well, yeah, it deals with string theory.
Okay.
I make this real easy when I talk about it. These guys did not, but it was a good article. It really, really was, and I enjoyed it. It says the concept of Jesus Christ's incarnation, the belief that God entered into human existence and Jesus was Nazareth, has been central to Christian theology for millennia. From a scientific standpoint perspective, recent developments in quantum mechanics offer an intriguing framework for understanding this mystery. The essay explores the theological principle of incarnation through the lens of quantum physics, suggesting that Jesus' movement into a physical world can be understood in a transition from a higher dimensional timeless reality to a constrained linear four-dimensional world. Such exploration bridges theology and quantum science, offering a fresh perspective on foundational doctrine. And what it's saying is that God, who is basically omnipresent and basically he's omniscient, came into our world and basically became man for us. And it really, really good. He goes, from a theological perspective, God is often described as eternal and omnipresent, existing outside the constraints of linear time and finite space. Quantum superposition, where particles exist in multiple states simultaneously, parallels this divine nature. Theologically, Jesus' incarnation can be viewed as God's collapsing from a higher dimensional or traveling from a higher dimensional timeless state into a defined form in our physical world. This act is reminiscent of quantum wave functioning and into a measurable state upon observation. What they're saying is, from a physics standpoint, the concept of God being a three-dimensional being and coming to earth as a man is fully plausible from a physics standpoint, and how he did it and why he did it. And so it was a very interesting article. I like some of the stuff that I talk about a little bit better because it's easier to understand. But if you want to read a pretty good article on this, I've posted it on the website. You guys will actually get a kick out of it because it goes into detail as far as why Christian theology is correct from a physics standpoint. Very, very interesting article. Because remember, you need to keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. Because with Jesus, all things are possible. It's through him that, remember, he made the universe. And so this is a great article, and I like it when science ties back together theology and Christ, because it shows that they don't have to be mutually exclusive. It's really important to understand that. God is a God of creation. He's a God of order. He likes to have things lined up right. Imagine if we had the planets in a situation where they keep running into each other, Austin.
Yeah.
That's a problem. You have planets hitting planets. It's a problem. You know, what happens if you have gravity and you drop a box of purple sticks? If you want to call it gravity, it's more of an electrical field. If you drop the box of purple sticks, it goes up instead of down. You want to step out of bed in the morning, but you hit the ceiling. That's not an order. That's all messed up. And, you know, God, you know what I'm saying? So God's a God. That was a funny man.
That wild morning.
I'm stuck on the ceiling again. This is awful.
At least I can do push-ups up here.
That's right.
This is an interesting story. Tying back to what I said now, Netherlands, the UK, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and Norway have all banned entry of two Israeli ministers over the Gaza war rhetoric and put sanctions on them now. This is kind of crazy. The Netherlands has now posed a travel ban, a freeze on two Israeli ministers accusing them of exciting violence in Gaza. So what happened is now the Netherlands, along with the UK, Australia, New Zealand, and Norway, have banned these two prime ministers that work directly with Netanyahu. They can't even come to any of the parliamentary meetings anymore. They're not even allowed to be involved in anything. So apparently they've been traveling the globe, and they're going in and saying, Gaza can't be allowed to live. Nobody should be able to live in Gaza. The decision came amidst intensifying calls across Europe for Israel to alleviate this humanitarian crisis that they've caused. Last month, UK, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Norway imposed similar sanctions for the repeated incitement of violence against Palestinian civilians. And, sanctions include travel bans and asset freezes.
Well, this whole thing, Gaza is just a giant concentration camp.
Well, no, it's all these other countries are saying, okay, and they're saying, well, this is amidst Israel doing more for aid for Gaza. Okay, you listen, guys, it kind of works like this. You can't carpet bomb a country and then send them MREs and make up for it. I'm just going to kind of put that out there. You can't keep bombing civilians and bombing Catholic churches. And go, oh, by the way, we sent you a case of MREs. We're sorry. We're really sorry, guys.
Well, you can't if you can't if
whoopsie.
You can't if the Christians in the United States.
There you go. And of course, okay. Bubble Boy Mark Rubio says this is a horrible move that I'm condemning. You should never be able to do this to any Israeli citizen. He urged the reversal of the sanctions and calls on the countries to support Israel to release the hostages. Okay, I'm at this point now. Where what hostages?
Well, we don't know if that's even real.
Well, no, that's my point. I'm getting it. At a certain point in time, when there is no more Hamas, and there is no more Gaza, and there is no more Palestine, where are the hostages? Are we going to see WMD again? Oh, we were wrong. The hostages have already gone back to us, so they're already dead.
I don't believe any of it. And here's another article on the same topic. In a first, a leading Israeli rights group accused Israel of Gaza genocide. Israel says it's fighting Hamas, not Palestinians, which is a lie, as a group, but two of Israel's best-known right groups agree along critical of Israeli policies. Now they say they disagree, and it's been saying that two of Israel's best-known human right groups say Monday that Israel was committing genocide, against Palestinians in Gaza, adding fuel to a passionately fought international debate over whether the death and destruction there have crossed moral red lines.
There you go.
The two groups were B'Tselem, a rights monitor that documents the effects of Israeli policies on Palestinians, and Physicians for Human Rights out of Israel. Their announcement was the first time major Israeli rights groups have publicly concluded that the Gaza war is a genocide, Austin.
Yeah.
An assessment previously reached by some of the same organizations like Amnesty International. In a report titled Our Genocide, B'Tselem cited the devastating effects of Israelis' war on ordinary Palestinians to support their claim, the killing of hundreds of thousands of Palestinians in Gaza, the razing of huge areas of Palestinian cities, the forced displacement of nearly all Gaza's 2 million people, and the restriction of food and other vital supplies. This sounds worse than concentration camps to me. Altogether, the Israeli campaign has amounted to coordinated action to intentionally destroy Palestinian society in the Gaza Strip, the organization wrote. In other words, Israel is committing genocide against Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. These are Israeli groups saying this. The debate over whether the war in Gaza constitutes genocide is also played out on the International Court of Justice, where South Africa has brought a genocidal case against Israel. The court has yet to rule on the matter. The office of Prime Minister, lowlife from the pit of perdition, Benjamin Netanyahu, did not immediately comment. Speaking at the International Court of Justice in January 24, Tal Becker, a member of the Israeli legal defense, said that Israel was fighting Hamas, not targeting Palestinians wholesale. He's lying. What Israel seeks by operating Gaza is not to destroy people, lie, but to protect the people, lie. Its people, lie, who are under attack, lie, on multiple fronts, lie, and to do so in accordance with the law, lie, Mr. Becker told the court. Genocide has a specific definition in international law, particularly acts carried out with the intent to destroy a group in whole or part. The accusation hits a painful nerve for Israel, a state founded after Nazi Germany's attempt to exterminate German European Jewry. Israel vigorously denies that its war against Hamas in Gaza amounts to genocide, lie, countered that Hamas seeks to destroy the Jewish state, lie. Israeli officials have also pointed to the Hamas-led attack on October the 7th, 2023, in which 1,200 people were killed. We don't know if that's true or not. Mostly civilians, which prompted this devastating Israeli response. So they say that they shut down their Iron Dome system. The guys fly in on hang gliders, dropping bombs, etc. They kill some people. And now because they shut down their Iron Dome and they allowed them to come in, now it's their fault that's happened. To me, it sounds a whole lot like Mossad in an inside false flag operation. Just a thought. The subsequent Israeli bombing campaign and ground offensive in Gaza have killed more than 59,000 people. It's more than that. It's hundreds of thousands, including thousands of children. You know, those children really deserved that, didn't they? Remember, they used to shoot them for sport. from their installations. According to the Gaza Health Ministry, that toll does not distinguish between civilians and combatants. At one point, the Israeli military chief said nearly 20,000 Hamas fighters were being targeted. Another lie. This is just unbelievable to me, Austin.
Here's a photo they released from 2 days ago. This is the Hamas individuals looting the aid trucks. That looks a lot to me like absolutely starving, desperate individuals that are trying to get food.
Me too.
Never forget. The plan from May 2024 that Netanyahu put together to turn Gaza into the next Dubai by 2035. Don't forget this article that came out almost a year now, a year and a half ago. The plan to turn Gaza into the next Dubai, the administration has learned from neighboring states that spectacle can distract from ethnic cleansing. This is a sketch they put together. And I'm sure you know.
This is going to be the new Gaza.
Yeah, it's new Gaza. And so they want to turn it into Dubai.
It's, look, Trump Towers.
Yeah. I still want to see if we can get a health master store over there. Pretty views on the water and everything.
I know we joke about that, but the reality is that, you know, do you really want to build a health master's or anything on top of the death of all of these people? How many bodies are buried underneath those doggone facilities there? How many people died in that exact location? How many people are still raging from the dead, unbelievably angry?
I was making a joke about health
master's. Oh, sorry about that.
You just got really dark.
I did go dark. I apologize. Well, no, I read this stuff.
I know, you're not wrong. I was trying to make it a little bit lighter, but the thing is, this is not a light topic.
Okay, let me say something to you. There's a very thin veil that separates dimensions. Years ago, I was going through a place up in North Georgia where there had been a huge civil war battle. And also, I went through an area, and I felt something very strange. It was weird, and it felt like something bad had happened here. And I told the lady who I was driving with in the car, the realtor, and Sharon was in the back seat. I said, "What happened here?" She goes, "Well, this is a battle site." And I said, yeah, I could feel
a lot of death.
Yeah. And so do you really want to build anything on top of that? I mean, this is horrible what they've done to these people over there. And so it's sad to me that this is actually something that, you know, they're actually contemplating doing. But of course, that seafront land is worth a huge amount of money. And of course, they put all their farming things behind there so they can try to make it look like it's not just going to be, you know, developmental real estate. It's just, this is sad to me that they're actually considering killing millions of people and driving them from their homes so they can start another seaside development. It's sad to me. It really
is. Seaside development. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yes, and also, too, other news, too. This is a study that came out. Where did I pull it up? I heard it a second ago. The it says, effective natural remedies for itchy skin. Traditional approach to relieving discomfort. This is a problem that's getting worse and worse now from what I'm hearing. One of the issues that's coming about from this, and it talks about in this article, it says skin reactions can look like map-like red wheals, swollen red patches, patches, blisters of various sizes, and also all types of other small things. It says essentially what's happening now is the food is becoming so inflammatory, and a lot of this is tying into the seed oils and the canola oils.
Omega-6 oils.
People's inflammatory response is so high now that they're eating this food over and over and over again. Their body's not able to detoxify itself like we talked about with like non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. Remember, the skin is the largest eliminating organ in the body. Mm-hmm. If the liver gets plugged up and the kidneys are plugged up and the body's overwhelmed with toxicity and inflammation, it cannot get it out, so it starts expelling things from the skin. This is one of the reasons why acne, in a lot of cases, is tied directly to diet. Now, a lot of times when teenagers, you can have hormonal imbalances and so forth. I've seen that before. But a lot of times, invariably, as I remember, there was a young girl that I knew years ago when I was in church. And she had horrible acne. And I remember one thing about it is I never saw her without a can of Coke.
Well, remember, the skin's the largest eliminating organ in the body.
Yeah,
when the liver and the colon are all plugged up, the only thing the body can do is basically excrete through the skin.
Yeah. And I remember seeing it, and I remember she was always fighting, and we talked about it. I felt bad for her. It was real bad acne. And I remember, I think I brought it up to her one time. If I'm not mistaken, I asked her, I said, have you changed anything in your diet? Because even back then, I was in nutrition and everything else, a teenager. And she goes, oh, no, that has nothing to do with it. It's my hormones. I'm on this skin cream and retinol and all this stuff. I'm like, okay, whatever. And then sure enough, later on, I've talked to other individuals that have the same problem. They go, dude, I cut out the soda. I cut out the junk food. I cut out the fried food. I cut out the french fries. And suddenly, my acne started clearing up. And then I started watching it more and more.
I have seen that hundreds of times.
So have I. Yeah. And so, again, alcohol-induced itching is also a thing it talks about right here.
Tomatoes do that to me.
Tomatoes do it. Yeah. There's also other products, other foods that are on there. Toxin-induced itching. This talks about it. You start eating too many toxins. It also talks about it here with certain foods. fish, shrimp, crab. A lot of people have response to that. They don't even realize it from crustaceans. Because remember, a lot of that food with like shrimps, crabs, lobster.
Lobster, shrimp, oyster, prawns, scallops, crabs, and clams.
There you go. High, high levels of toxicity. And so a lot of people think they're having some type of, you know, inflammatory response. They are. The reason why you're getting itchy is because all the toxins that are in it.
Now, turmeric really helps with this.
Turmeric's enormous. That's what I was about to get into. The GHI cleanse, ironically. And also, you can start taking high doses of the turmeric force that we carry. The turmeric force is one of those things where it's able to go in and massively reduce inflammation response.
I'm going to share by something real quick.
Okay.
I'm trying to do it without making a big mess.
Well, that's...
You see the color?
Yeah.
That's because of turmeric.
Yeah.
It's loaded with turmeric. It works great. If you have a problem with itching or skin issues or whatever, start on the GHI clan. Gastrointestinal, hepatic, inflammation. And stop eating any foods. Now, what you can also do is get a blood test and find out what you're allergic to.
Yeah.
That's what I do with the tomatoes. I finally had a blood test. I said, what is what's going on with me?
Yeah.
And I had this plus on tomatoes. I'm like, wow.
I remember that.
Because I was taking the kids over to a restaurant in celebration on a regular basis. It's called the Columbia Restaurant. And I was getting their chicken quesadillas.
Yep, they had all that tomato.
They had all the tomato stuff in them. And we were going over with the kids. The kids wanted to go there all the time. And I was eating too many tomatoes.
Yeah.
And I cut them out, boy, and the itching stopped immediately. Now, what stopped it now before I had the blood test done was turmeric.
Right.
That was the only thing that worked.
You're hammering a lot of it, though, when you're eating the tomatoes. I remember that.
Mm-hmm. I was, because of the itching. Now, right. that'll drive you nuts,
yeah,
that itching. And so it's crazy.
Well, the problem is it's got other side effects. You start itching, well, you start clawing at it, then you get cuts on it, then you start doing all that.
Infection,
yeah. So it's...
So GHI cleanse and cut out inflammatory foods.
Look at your overall diet, what you're eating, and also what you're drinking as well, because sodas, a lot of times, they make the body so polluted and so toxic and so acidic that it cannot get the toxins out of it, especially the phosphoric acid. Remember, Coca-Cola's on like 2.3, 2.4 pH scale.
It'll take the rust right off a nail.
We used to do it in dirt bikes. We'd have certain bolts that would get gummed up that we could get off the bikes because of all the mud and dirt from racing, and we'd literally throw them in a glass of Coca-Cola. Next morning, they look like brand-new big bolts. Brand new. I mean, clean, great, lube them, done, brand new. That's how acidic this stuff is, guys. So just be aware of that if that's really heavily in your diet.
Imagine what that's doing to the calcium in your bones.
That's what it does.
Because remember, your body has to neutralize acid.
Yep.
It does it with calcium, it does it with potassium, and it does it with sodium. And if you've got a lot of acidity coming in, you're going to get osteoporosis. My mom did that. She drank sodas all the time. I couldn't get her to stop.
Yeah.
Well, she ended up with an osteoporotic fracture. And then she went to the hospital, and the doctor told her she had a lytic lesion, that she had some type of cancer somewhere in her body that had done this to her foot. I said, no, she doesn't. She drinks sodas.
Yep.
And he said, well, I believe it's a lytic lesion. I said, no, it's not. You've told my mom she has cancer. What's wrong with you? You have no testing to prove that. And I said, don't be around here when we find out it's not cancer, so I'm going to fuss at you. And I said it a little harsher than that, but I did say that. But I was being
bad. Well, no, because what happens is when the soda hits the stomach, just what you said, the body has to neutralize the acidity of it. It has to pull calcium from somewhere. Where's the easiest place to pull calcium from? The bones. Mm-hmm. So what happens is then all of a sudden it starts leaching more calcium. Then sure enough, you start having all these issues with bone strength and everything else.
And osteoporotic fractures.
Osteoporotic fractures. And that's why for females we have the one product. The Osomag, which is the MCA calcium.
Only for females.
It's fantastic as far as repair and response on the bones because it's from microcrystalline hydroxy concentrate bovine. And so it's actually a calcium your body uses because it's bioavailable. Do not ever, under any circumstances, take a calcium product that's calcium carbonate. Ever.
And
even females. Like, no, nobody. It's you're asking for kidney problems, for artery problems, everything.
Mm-hmm. No, It's crazy how bad it is. And so, you know, just men don't need it. I have a friend of mine who was a medical doctor. He's dead now.
Yeah.
Died with his heart. And he was hammering calcium carbonate.
Yeah.
And he was a health guy. And he had a heart attack. And I said to him, I said, can you please do me a favor? I've trained as a naturopath. Could you please send me a list of your supplements? And one of the first things he was taking like 10 calcium tablets a day. I have no idea why. So I sent him all the available links that I had on how calcium caused heart attacks. It builds up in the arteries, guys. It causes arterial plaquing. That's why it's called hardening of the arteries.
Yeah.
And he had not had any idea he was doing that to himself. And I've seen numerous people have heart attacks because they're taking calcium as men. You can't do that as a man. And when a woman gets through menopause and she's not drinking a bunch of sodas, she doesn't need it either. You don't need a bunch of calcium. You need more magnesium than anything else.
You need a lot of magnesium.
Yeah, it's crazy. Oh, by the way, ChatGPT passes the I am not a robot test, a terrifying step towards the AI developing a mind of its own. Lead story on Drudge.
It is.
It's a big deal.
AI is becoming an issue.
Yeah, no, it has been. We warned you about this 10 years ago. 10 years ago, we warned you this was going to happen. Artificial intelligence has become so sophisticated it's apparently no longer distinguishable from its human counterparts. The newer Jewish generation of ChatGPT has ironically devised a way to pass the online verification test designed to stop bots from accessing the system. The assistant dubbed ChatGPT agent was designed to navigate the internet on the user's behalf, handling complex tasks from online shopping to scheduling appointments. ChatGPT will intelligently navigate websites, filter results, prompt you to log in securely when needed. You know, what's funny about this. Last night I talked to Alex. He's out of California. And he told me that the Chinese ChatGPT, the one they use over there for the AI, is not woke.
Really?
If you ask it, can a man have a baby, it says absolutely not. It will not have a baby. It cannot be done.
That's
because.
Funny.
But this, ours will tell you, oh, yeah, you could do that.
Oh, yeah. It gives you this convoluted response
because
the transgender ideology.
Because the idiots who basically program these things to start with have told them lies. And so, remember, lies in, lies out. And so we have a woke AI now running the United States, telling everybody it's okay to be a tranny or have babies if you're a guy and all the rest. And you think, you know, well, look at that movie Arnold Schwarzenegger did a few years ago. He ended up getting pregnant. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Well, he's back.
That's crazy stuff, right? And you say, well, why would Arnold Schwarzenegger do something like that? Well, he probably got paid millions of dollars. That's probably why he did it. I don't know. But the whole thing is just it's crazy when we see stuff like this and we start to realize how Hollywood, because they believe that their God is the doggone transgender, pushes this agenda to everybody. And because Hollywood is also owned by the same people that own the media, you have a situation in which we're sitting back looking and going, why is this so important? Because we're being run by a sex death cult from the ancient Canaanite religions. Well, that was abrasive, Ted. Abrasive. That was just really to the point. Yeah, that's what it is. And so we have this group of people that are still running the planet, and that's why they don't care about you or about me.
Period. Well, it was crazy. I mean, I told you guys this. When I first tried ChatGPT with my brother Harrison, we started asking questions about Ruby Ridge and went into detail. I straight up asked it about Lon Hurucci, who's the FBI sniper who shot Vicki Weaver in the face while she was holding her baby. And it said that he basically was convicted and sent to prison for 10 years for manslaughter. He never went to jail. He got basically exonerated. They dismissed the charges against him. It never happened. And we went and I said, this isn't accurate. Randy Weaver's wife, Vicki Weaver, was killed by Lon Hurucci, the FBI sniper. The guy said, oh, we're sorry. Sometimes we make mistakes. Well, here's the problem with that. If AI ChatGPT makes mistakes like that intentionally, it didn't make a mistake. It gave us completely and totally false information that didn't even exist. How long does it start doing that for before you start to change the entire mindset and reality of a generation? Just how many people are going to know the actual truth behind that? And they won't. I mean, that whole thing with Randy Weaver and Ruby Ridge was an absolute atrocity. And the fact that you have AI lying about it, not just misinterpreting or misspeaking, flat lying and fabricating stories about it, boggled my mind. I remember Harrison was shot, too, because he knew a lot about that. So be very cautious when you're using this AI system. Double read stuff. I told you yesterday in the whole detailed story about AI now, how essentially it's causing debt, cognitive debt that we accumulate every time we use AI because people are no longer actually using parts of their brain anymore. The same way that a lot of us have now started using GPS, where if you don't put in the GPS anymore, you have to certainly start thinking how to get places. We talked about it yesterday.
I got lost in Tampa the other day.
Yeah, well, the place that we've gone dozens of times decades ago, now suddenly you got to, how did I get there again? Where do I turn here? What exit do I take?
Especially when they start changing roads.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I try to go to Tallahassee now. I haven't lived there in years, decades, and I'm like, I can't.
Well, that's a little different, though. They change entire landscapes and all of a sudden you got this crossroads and everything's different.
Crazy. Oh, by the way, Letterman has been ripping into CBS for firing, you know, Stephen Colbert. Colbert. And, you know, it's so funny. David Letterman, you know, he used to be really careful about how he looked. But, man, he looks like Father Time right now. He's only 78. He's not that old. I mean, he looks like some – I don't know. He looks awful.
There's cues on how you take care of yourself. So, again, that's one of the reasons why, you know, the Brain and Body Restart Kit, we got that on sale. Reduce inflammation. Get your body cleaned out. And the cinnamon extract. Get your blood sugar under control. We got everything you need, anything you want, supplement-wise at Team Health Masters. Be sure to take advantage of the different sales and specials we have. And call us if you need anything. We still answer the phone, unlike many other places now. They like try to actively avoid you calling them.
I've been trying to get propane gas delivered for over a week now.
Yeah.
It's awful.
You guys stay strong and healthy, my friends. I appreciate you guys. Thank you for the emails. I got a really good email again from another customer yesterday, another listener. Appreciate it all. Have a blessed night. We'll talk to you on this show as always.
And thank you so much for your support. If you weren't helping us from a financial standpoint, getting your supplements from us, we wouldn't be here.
Couldn't do without
always
y'all.
Keep your hearts and minds in Christ all the days of your life. I love you guys, and we will talk to you tomorrow.